Rebuilding Ruins is a podcast aimed at tackling heart issues. Let's jump straight to the deep end, because who has time to be sitting in the shallow? We will delve into scripture and use that as our foundational truth, in which we talk all things that have affected women, past, present, and future. So get your tools, ladies. We ride at dawn. Welcome, builders. I'm your host, Amina. This is such a moment for me as I'm finally stepping into this long-awaited dream. For today's episode, we will discuss the heart of rebuilding ruins, but first, a little bit about me. I'm a mother of 10. Yes, 10 amazing kids. No twins or triplets, all single babies I pumped out over the course of 20 years, which is about how long I have been married for. No, we're not Amish, Catholic, or Mormon. We do own a little homestead, which we absolutely love. I must also announce that I launched this podcast on my son's birthday. He is our 10th baby, and he has been diagnosed with Down syndrome. He has played such an integral role in my rebirth process, and I will delve into all the details of that as we go along. Rebuilding Ruins came during a time of great shaking for me. The name comes from the verse in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, "And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." It's such an amazing call, isn't it? I've been feeling a shift in the hearts of women that are moving in response to this verse. And I've been coming across many of them that have kind of been articulating the same journey that I've been on. And you think you're the only one that's going through something, and then all of a sudden you hear all these other amazing women's stories. And oh my gosh, there's something in the air or the water. Like, we're all kind of entering into a shifting season. Many of us have been standing in the midst of ruins. When I speak of ruins, I'm referring to the false ideals that we have embraced that have brought ruin to our life. Whether it be labels, beliefs, or false thoughts about who God is, who we are, these are beliefs that may have been passed down to us from women who have come before us, whether it be mothers, even men, fathers, teachers. Rebuilding ruins is a place of exposure. Unless we can identify the root of what brought destruction, no matter how much of a sturdy home you build, if it's built on sand, it will only crumble within a matter of time. It's facing the truth within our own hearts that have kept us from receiving our inheritance of a life filled with peace, abundance, joy. Whether it's the belief that you're stupid or not valued, unseen, unheard, this will be something we will be asking God to expose so that we can heal and rebuild a sturdy structure of truth that we can pass down to future generations. I have personally believed many false ideals about myself that have kept me in a place of fear, anxiety, settling for less, and the list goes on. Right? Your feet and heart follow where your mind leads. It is the powerhouse that fuels our ambition or diminishes our strength. Are you self-sabotaging because of lies that have been embedded in you, that your default is set to living in a way that leaves you feeling in a constant state of defeat? Are you allowing people to determine your value or your worth? This podcast was birthed from a place of pain, where my eyes were finally open to the reality that what I believed about myself, about God, was a lie. These lies would bombard my mind, words that made me feel inadequate and would leave me in a constant state of fear and anxiety. If you have seen my promo video, I share the origins of where much of these lies were birthed. And it began in childhood and it would carry into my teens and well into my adulthood. I came into a season, one of many, that would bring me to a place of reckoning, reckoning of the truth. It was much like the story of Peter in the Bible that we read in Luke chapter, I think it's 21 or 22, starting in verse 31. And this is Jesus saying, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me." Okay, so if I'm breaking this down, it like that part where it says, when Jesus says that Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, that, oh my God, that's scary, isn't it? It's like, oh, wait, what? What does that look like? What does that mean? And that was totally my experience. We had entered a season with our 10th child, and I was confident that I'll be able to handle this. I'll be able to do this, maybe kind of, but you know, it kind of would come and go in waves. But regardless, I had a really bad habit of depending on my own strength and my own abilities and not really seeking the Lord and depending on his wisdom and strength. And this season had forced me into that. I love how Jesus says that I am praying for you, that your faith may not fail. It's like we have an advocate that is advocating on our behalf in heaven, praying on our behalf, that our faith will not fail when we go through these seasons. And once we come out of it, I love that Jesus says, "And when you have turned back," because he knows this is just a season, okay? But I know you're going to step back. When you come out of it, you're going to come out strong, and then you're going to be able to strengthen others. And that's what this podcast is about, just turning back from the experiences I had to strengthen any of you that are going through it, have gone through it, in the midst of it. And then Peter, being confident, is like, "No, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And that struck me because it's like, how many of us out here have been like, you know, "I am never going to do what my mom did to me. I'm never going to, you know, hook up with some guy who's like my dad. I refuse to be treated a certain way. I will not," you know, whatever that is for you. And, you know, there's a chaotic situation at home, and maybe you're in the midst of dinner and kids are running around and they're constantly screaming or crying, and it's just overload and overstimulated, and you're just exhausted and phones ringing and all this stuff. And then you just lash out like your mom did. And you're like, "Oh my God, I said I would never do this." And you were so confident in that, your ability to just say, "I will not go there with my kids," because I know how I felt. And then the immediate rush of guilt and shame begin to just bombard you. And then all the words come. "You're such a bad mom. You're just like your mother. Look at what you did. You said you would never do it." You know, all the accusations begin to fill our mind. And then we're drowning now under the weight of those words. And although our intentions were pure to not want to repeat the same mistakes, we find ourselves replicating that. And now we're drowning under the weight of the guilt and the shame. And if you're a repeat offender, you're like, dang it, I'm never going to change. I'm never going to get out of this. Because it's something that's just been ingrained in us from our upbringing or from the experiences we had. And this is where the rebuilding part comes, to allow all of that to fall so that we can rebuild a new default mindset so that it will not be our initial inclination to yell or isolate or lash out. So those are the things that the Lord will reveal and walk us through the same way he did with Simon Peter, and say, you know, as he strengthens him, like, hey, you're not going to go through this for a long time. And then tells Peter, actually, Peter, instead of going to prison and dying for me, you're actually going to deny me 3 times. And I wonder if Peter was like, yeah, no, I would never do that. It's like, we tend to get so confident in our own strength that we're like, no, I would never do that. And then we find ourselves in those positions. But it just resonates with me because, like Peter, I also believed I had the strength and ability to withstand circumstances that would arise. You know, sharing my heart and feelings was a challenge for me, as I had been trained as a young child that it failed in comparison to the adults in my life that had bigger issues than what I was going through. So this left me feeling stifled and having shallow relationships when I was so hungry for depth and intimacy. I remember if I would talk to my mom about things, feelings I had or, you know, things I was going through, she would either be completely zoned out. And then in the middle of the conversation, I would realize that she didn't even hear a word I said, or she was just always plagued with like, no, I got a lot on my mind, not right now. Or, you know, when I would share, then no matter what, the way I was feeling was wrong. And it was always like, I've got a lot going on. And the overall message that I would get throughout my childhood is like, you need to be there for your mom. You know, your mom needs you. Your mom's going through a lot. And rightfully so, because she was a single mom. And I'm so thankful that in the midst of that, at least God had sent an aunt in my life that did give me a safe space to express myself. But it wasn't like a regularly practiced thing. So it was such a challenge because the paramount people in my life did not want this side of me that was expressing my true feelings, my fears, my aspirations. I ended up having to settle for what they were willing to give, even if it left me in a deficit. And this view carried over into my belief that God felt the same way. And even just feeling like, I don't want to be a burden to my husband. I don't want to burden him with my feelings, because I always felt like that was the message that I had for my parents. And it was something that I just felt like I shouldn't really have to express this to God, because somebody always has it worse, or, you know, so I'd always just kind of stuff my feelings down or push them aside, or, you know, just ignore my own heart. And always feeling as though God was disappointed in me and ready to pour out his wrath on me. Yet time and time again, God would show me the opposite, but it had not like fully penetrated my brain. It was like, yeah, I believe, you know, like I believe, I see that you're good. I see the evidence of that, but that's like a one-time thing, or, you know, it's not like a constant. It was just something, oh, I must have earned this in some way, or it was just very much a mirrored relationship that I had with my own parents. And like Peter, I run back to the very thing that God called me out of, believing that I was disqualified and had to start back over again, or would just never measure up. This mindset brought torment and defeated my confidence and unrest. In Luke chapter 24, verses 38 to 39, he said to them, and this is Jesus talking, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." This passage is when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Note their response is filled with doubt and a troubled mind. They're seeing him as a ghost. And Jesus is like, no. I'm trying to prove to you that I'm not. Touch me. Look at my hands. You know, embrace me, you know. And then if you read further, he even eats to show that he's not a ghost. And that is a lot of times how we look at God. We're looking at him in a distorted way. And just like I was, he's like, oh, no. I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. I want you to see my goodness. Look at the cross. And Jesus attempts to redirect their attention from their thoughts to his hands and feet, and to touch him, embrace him, handle him. It is what our kind Father says to us. Why are you troubled and have doubts in your heart? Look at my sacrifice. Look to the cross to see what I was willing to endure on your behalf. He invites us to sit with him, embrace him, cling to him, and allow his truth to penetrate our house. That pushes all lies out so we can see the truth of who he is and how he feels towards us. In John 21, verse 15 to 19, we see this beautiful interaction in which Jesus is affirming Peter. And I'm not going to read the entire passage for time's sake, but I'll paraphrase quickly. This is when Jesus restores Peter. And we see that after the crucifixion of Jesus, Peter returns back to the very thing that Jesus called him out of, which is being a fisherman. And he goes back to his default, what he knows, because he's like, I'm disqualified. And just like the whole scenario of, you know, the bombardment of lies that come in your head as a mom when you, you know, make a mistake or lash out or whatever it is. This is what Peter's experiencing. And he's like, you know what? I suck at this. I'm a loser. So I'm going to go back to fishing because at least I was good at it, at least semi, you know. And so Jesus goes to them on the shore. And he starts getting ready to cook because I think he put that same heart in us Puerto Rican mothers, because it's like when somebody's going through something, the first thing we think about is, let me make you something, or let's go grab something to eat. You know, everything's centered around food. But in this interaction, Jesus is affirming Peter, letting him know that although his love for him was weak and led him to betray Jesus, it is still valid. And it would eventually grow and mature to the point to where Peter would indeed end up giving his life for the Lord as he initially spoke, because Jesus predicts his death to him and then says, follow me. So Jesus acknowledging the love, as weak as it may be, that Peter had for him, he reinstates his calling, because every single time Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? I think he wanted Peter to, you know, it was like he wanted him to see that, yeah, you do love me. I know you love me. I know you're willing to die for me. I truly believe that. But it's the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus reminded him of that prior to his death. And he reinstates his calling, Peter's calling, to feed and tend to his lambs. This is the heart of the Father that restores us to our design and purpose, not to wallow in the pit of lies that keeps us from walking out our God-given purpose with confidence. Confident in who he has called us to be and confident in his love for us. You're not disqualified, no matter your past. You have an inheritance that cannot be taken from you. We need to strip off every weight that entangles us, as Hebrews 12:1 states. My prayer is that we would receive the revelation to the lies that are keeping us entrapped. And in exchange, we will hear the still small voice of our Father reminding him of us, of his commitment to us, that you are redeemable and worthy of restoration. You are chosen for such a time as this. That is your challenge this week, to ask God to reveal all the things that are keeping you bound and begin to look up scripture. I love just getting a dry erase marker and writing a verse to meditate on my bathroom mirror. So I always have it first thing in the morning, last thing of the day. It's something that I just look to as I'm getting ready. I write it on my kids. I just think it's important to have something to look to. You know, and as you're asking God, just be aware. I remember I would wake up in the morning and, you know, I still struggle with this from time to time. And again, we have to be conscious and aware of what we're feeling. But I would wake up and I'm like, oh my God, this day, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I would just wake up already in a bad mood, like already irritable. I'm like, where's the coffee? And there would be no coffee. And now everything's starting to really amplify this feeling of anger and irritation. And I'm like, you know what? You know, it would just begin to fester and grow. And I remember one day the Lord was like, why are you angry? Why are you upset? And I was like, I just paused. I'm like, that's, you know, now I'm fishing for something to validate the way I'm feeling. And nothing's really coming to me. And I'm just like, I'm at a loss. And it was like him trying to refocus. Why are you receiving this feeling that's not only ruining your day, but it's also ruining everybody else's day? Because you know how it is. It's like you start, you know, you're upset, you're irritated. Now it's like you just noted, oh, the floor is in sweat. I told so-and-so to do this. Oh, and then you go to change out the laundry. Oh my gosh, look at, you know, it just amplifies. And then when God had revealed that to me, that was a revelation to me because it was just something that I grew up with. I mean, I grew up in a household that was filled with anger. Everybody was angry all the time, and you were getting yelled at for any and everything. And so I would wake up just feeling that way sometimes. And it brought that clarity to me where God was like, okay, are you going to receive that? Are you going to accept that as your inheritance? Because that's the inheritance your parents passed down to you. Is that what you want? And conviction. Sorry you had to hear that. But you know, I was like, okay. And I looked up scripture and I remember, you know, just this verse I would memorize and just meditate, and I would put it on my mirror. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to command myself to rejoice in it. And whatever feeling I wake up with, whether it's anger, despair, hopelessness, I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to battle with the truth. And I'm just going to put that at the forefront and say, okay, no, this is a day the Lord has made. The enemy didn't make this day. So why should I be upset? Why should I walk through this day dreading it? And so I would just start to, you know, okay, I am thankful. And just think of all the things, recounting all the things that God has done to display his faithfulness from big to small. And so that would begin to kind of turn around. Now, the feeling sometimes would stick, but I wasn't going to give in to it. I was declaring war on it. And then I would play worship music, set the tone, try to engage in worship as I'm, you know, cleaning, cooking, delegating chores or whatever it is. And or listening to a message or listening to my Bible app, like these are practical things we need to do. And this is the awareness that I'm talking about, because sometimes we've grown up in an atmosphere of brokenness for so long that it just seems like it's us, like this is who we are. And God's like, no, you're not this way. There's something that is trying to influence you so that it can ruin your day, ruin your perspective, rob you of the joy, rob you of your true inheritance, which is peace. My God, what I wouldn't give for just having a peaceful night's rest. Or that word just is so appealing, isn't it? But that's my challenge to you this week. Just ask the Lord, ask Holy Spirit to say, you know, what is it that is robbing me? What is it that is causing ruins so that we can begin the rebuilding process on a place of truth so that when those storms come, we can stand strong because our roots have gone down so deep and we are tangled up in the well that is bringing us refreshment. Real quick, we went to South Carolina and we went to go see this plantation. On both sides, they have these angel oaks. Oh my gosh, they're so gorgeous. It is so picturesque. They actually filmed a scene from The Notebook on that plantation where they're riding the bike down that strip. And they were sharing a little bit about the angel oaks, how their roots go down so deep and they all entwine. They're braided together so that they're unified. So no matter what storm comes, they're not going anywhere. Like they are, you know, locked in and loaded. So I was like, that is Amazing. That is exactly how we need to be with the Lord. And that's how those trees have withstood any throughout time. They're just absolutely beautiful. Those are just little some practical things to think about and ask God to reveal all those things that are keeping us bound and begin to look up scripture to counteract that lie, like I told you I did, as well as listening and asking God what steps to take, listening and responding to that. I pray that this has blessed you, my fellow builders. If you are watching on YouTube, I encourage you to like, comment, and subscribe. Share this with your other girlfriends that need to be encouraged and challenged. I know that there was probably some spotty delays in the video. I apologize. We live in a like the outskirts in a very rural town. So sometimes today is like a rainy day, and so it tends to lag sometimes, and that sucks. But I hope to catch you guys on my next episode where we're going to delve deeper into identity. Who are you? Who does God say that you are? How does He want us to respond when we are under attack? It is going to be such a great episode, and I can't wait to see you guys there. And until next time, continue to rebuild your ruins. Thanks for joining me on Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.